This morning, in this part of Focus 580, we will be spending some of our time talking about two exhibits of art that soon will be available here for people in Champaign-Urbana to look at. And overall, I guess the organizing idea is that this is work by people who perhaps have two things in common. One, the fact that they're artists and they have talent in that area. The other is that for many of these people, their lives have been touched by mental illness. We have three guests with us this morning. On the telephone, Patsy Hollister from an organization called the National Alliance for Research on Schizophrenia and Depression. And she has been involved in this traveling art show that's called Sunshine from Darkness. And it is going to be available here locally for people to see starting, I think tomorrow is the opening ceremony. It's going to be at the Borders Bookstore in Champaign. And locally, it's sponsored by Provena Behavioral Health. And also, they are involved in another show that we'll be talking about that also will be on display at the Mental Health Center in Champaign. So I'm going to tell you about more of these things this morning as we talk with our three guests. I did mention we had three. Patsy Hollister is joining us by telephone. Here in the studio, we have Kay Uline. She's an artist. She lives here in Champaign and shows both locally here and in Chicago. She got interested in art when she was young. She won a scholarship to art school in New York when she was 16, but her family would not let her accept it. Instead, she went to college, she got married, she had a family, and she only started painting again when she approached middle age. And in her mid-40s, she graduated from the School of the Art Institute of Chicago and has been doing art since then. And our third guest is Trudy Good. She has a doctorate in clinical psychology from the University of Illinois. She is a clinical manager at Provena Behavioral Health. She's been working in mental health services for over 12 years, including a year that she spent in Paraguay. And all of them glad to have them here on the show. As we talk, of course, questions are welcome. The number, if you're here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. And also toll-free, of course, if it would be a long-distance call, use that number, 800-222-9455. So 333-WILL or 9455, and toll-free, 800-222-9455. Patsy Hollister, hello.
Hello, hello.
Thanks for talking with us. And also we say hello to Kay Uline and Trudy Good here in the studio. Thank you.
Good morning.
Hello.
Maybe let's, one of the first things I should do perhaps is to ask Patsy Hollister if you will talk a little bit about the National Alliance for Research on Schizophrenia and Depression and what this group is all about.
Well, it's we have two. We use the acronym NARSAD, and NARSAD was founded, Mother NARSAD was founded in 1986 for one purpose only, to fund research, meaningful research in the severe mental illnesses. It was its parents, or the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, the National Mental Health Association, and the Depressive and Manic Depressive Association. We are now funding approximately $20 million worth of research a year worldwide. It is raised from people with little bits of money and people with lots of money, most of whom have family members like we do, with either schizophrenia or one of the bipolar or one of the many illnesses that affect so many people in the world. Then in 1989, my husband and I founded NARSAD Artworks, which has to do with the art show. Mm-hmm. Our daughter, who has schizophrenia, is an artist, and we projected that thought on, if she's an artist, there must be many more, and this is a way of one enhancing their self-esteem, but also raising awareness that these are people, artists and other qualities other than their behavioral illnesses. So it's we produce cards and other products, but we have these traveling shows. So Provena and the Compeer program there asked us if we would bring the show to Champaign-Urbana, and we were delighted to be able to do so. I think the public will enjoy seeing our wonderful art. It's Much of it is self-taught, but lots of it is highly skilled and highly trained. So I'm happy to have any of the questions. We get art from families, from doctors, from artists themselves. Call us, and we send them a submittal form, and it's been very successful.
Hmm. Maybe I'll turn here to Trudy here in the studio and ask her, perhaps you can talk a little bit about what it is when people go and if they go and see Sunshine from Darkness, what it is that they'll see.
You're asking Trudy or me?
Trudy says, yeah, maybe we should ask you to talk about what it is that they'll see.
They'll see a very broad variety, some realistic, some abstract, some incredibly impressive, some rather innocent, and not particularly childish, but childlike in its freshness unsophisticated. We always mount the paintings in fine frames. Some of the pieces are valued at, you know, $4,500 and some at $100. So that you'll just see a very bright, as a matter of fact. I was recently at a big show that we had here in Southern California, and it suddenly dawned on me how really bright the art is. There are occasional pieces that are gloomy, but we don't get much of that kind of grim art, which the art community often thinks is in relationship to outsider art. They see it as perhaps a little distorted, a little angry, or very angry. And we really don't get much of that type of art submitted to us.
Well, I think it's an interesting point because I think it goes to some of our preconceptions about mental illness. I expect probably if you said to people, gee, how'd you like to go to see an art show, paintings by people who were suffering serious mental illness and depression and schizophrenia, and I think probably a lot of people would say, well, no thanks, because they would have this idea that that the images might be very dark, difficult to look at, there's a little brochure that Trudy has handed me that just shows some of the paintings, and that's just simply not the case. In fact, I think you wouldn't look at these paintings, and you wouldn't.
They're not particularly disturbing or bothersome to look at. Just like any art show you might go to, they have a variety of perspectives. Some are landscapes, some are still lifes, and others are much more pictures of sort of active, everyday kinds of things that we each might experience in our life.
We have over 7,000 color copies taken from people's photographs or whatever that they have submitted in-house. And I would come to a guess of about less than 1% that show any kind of disturbance. So this is kind of one of our anti-stigma campaigns with our art. We would like to see all of our artists mainstreamed, and we sell many, many, many of their paintings to people who have just gone to a show and have seen them that have no relationship to mental illness. And so this is, really, we call it art by patients rather than patient art.
Well, let me try again here. I'm going to ask Trudy, maybe not so much, I guess maybe a better question rather than what people would see is that what was your interest and the interest of Provena in having this work here so that people can see it?
Well, one of our main interests is exactly what Patsy has already alluded to, and that is that Provena Behavioral Health believes and knows that people who have mental illnesses also have other important parts of their lives, and their mental illness is not the only thing that defines them. So they are artists, and they are mothers and fathers, and so it is our interest in having the art show here is in part to help with anti-stigma, helping people to understand that having a mental illness, while it can be very difficult and changes your life in a way that not many other things do, doesn't mean that you are so different that other people can't relate to you or see through your eyes or understand the world the way you understand it. So people with mental illnesses are like the rest of us in many, many ways.
Hear, hear.
I want to bring Kay Uhlein into the conversation. And I guess the thing about art is that it's if you're an artist and you're compelled to do it, you just can't help yourself. So partly it's something that's in you,
yeah.
But I think it also has I'm sure for people it has, for anyone it has a kind of a therapeutic sort of effect, that it's something that you feel that doing it somehow makes you feel good.
Well, this is just a theory of mine. It hasn't been proven, but I think, in the situation where you lose a human sense and the other senses become more acute, and I think especially during if you have episodes or difficulties with mental challenges, that the creativity can provide a safe haven, can be help you feel more like you can function when you might be concerned about that. Help your self-esteem, because almost anybody dealing with mental challenges puts themselves down as much or more than anybody else does. And also, in this situation, what we need to do is that in the areas of mental health, there's way too much baggage associated with someone who is diagnosed with having some type of mental illness. For example, if someone with a mental illness gets angry, all of a sudden that becomes aggression or violence, where in reality, the violence among the mental health community is the same as the regular population. Mm-hmm. And with a severe mental illness, the people who have that are usually victims of crime themselves, much more than the other way around. So I think the media, and I'm so glad that you're willing to do this, David, and that the media needs to open the doors here. I mean, we're still seeing these stereotypic people who have mental challenges that are dirty and they don't take their medication and they can't relate their thoughts. I mean, this is just not the case with many people. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some people that cannot really function. That, of course, that happens. But when you look at the art, it's just like a blank page if you were writing a story. You have to figure out what will fill that page. You have to know what the topic will be. You have to know what the balance will be. And all I can tell you, technically, all of these paintings are technically correct. Now, whether or not you like the subject matter or you like the color, that can differ. But you're not buying anything here where people don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
We have a couple of callers already who would like to be involved in the conversation, so let's do that, starting with Champagne, and this would be line number one. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
Hello. This is a question for Kay. Hi, Kay.
Hi, David.
How are you?
Okay.
Please, no names.
No, I'm sorry.
I know, but I'm just saying.
I'm sorry.
Could you talk about maybe your own process of discovering your balance,
yeah,
and self-identity as you tried to cope with the idea that maybe you were a person living with mental illness?
Yes.
Did you talk about that?
Yes. It was quite a while before I would even entertain the idea that I could get better.
Well, the caller has hung up, but I'm sure he's listening.
Ahead.
Go ahead.
And that was because I felt that I would actually never get any better. And was very discouraging for quite a while. I went to classes at the Mental Health Center, and as with the gentleman who called, I won't mention his name, and other people that are involved in the mental health field, they had a certain amount of patience and also an idea to tell you. In my case, I saw things, I heard things. I had the kind of the kitchen sink description of somebody with a mental challenge. Mm-hmm. And there were people that have to tell me when I got to the mental health center, you know, it's all right. We know you think the voices are real, but that's not what's happening. Then I worked with a very good psychiatrist who helped me, because at one time I was taking 6 psychotropic drugs a day. Now I'm taking 1, and that's it. But I want people to understand, if you have any kind of serious mental situation, medical science can provide things today that were not around years ago. And your suffering could be due to a chemical imbalance. A large portion of mine was. Mm-hmm. And also, this all happened over a period of 10 years. So this was not overnight that I went from. And for a long time, it got much worse before it got better. But the other part of it was, finally, one day, I was willing to trust that maybe I could get better. And I think you have to do that, too, because there are many people that will help you, but if you don't accept their help, there isn't anything they can do. But when it happens to you, you're so isolated in a way because you turn everything inward. And many people, of course, do everything they can to hide the fact that they're, something has happened and they mm-hmm. can't. And also, we're not really prepared, like within our family, how to deal with something. Now, in the case with Anik, her parents, it didn't paralyze them. You know, they took some action to see what they could possibly do. But for many families, they're ashamed and or they're paralyzed and they can't do anything. So the two things that I want to say absolutely is that there is hope, and that this art is technically correct. You are not buying any kind of bad art just because it comes from an unknown source.
I think you made a point that I think is a really important one, and that is that even though it might seem that at this point in time here in the United States, there's nothing we won't talk about in a public way. Mm-hmm. We have a thing about obsessing about our feelings and talking about those things. At the same time, I think it continues to be the case that mental illness is something that scares us.
Yes.
We're afraid of
mm-hmm.
it. We're afraid right. of it in ourselves. We're afraid of it in other people. Right. And that I'm sure that it's also true that because there's some stigma attached, that it's still really hard for people if they feel that they're having some difficulties mm-hmm. to admit that they are mm-hmm. and go out and try to get some help, which indeed might really ease whatever pain they're going through.
That's right.
But
mm-hmm.
just the reluctance of standing up and saying, hey, this is me. I'm having a problem here and I need help. That's really difficult to do. And I think that reflects the attitude that we still have mm-hmm. in society about mental illness. It's just very scary.
Yeah. Having a mental illness, having some kind of difficulty that you decide to go to a therapist or you need to take medication or you need to do a variety of different things, those are the things that come along with that bring you to that point can be very scary because you have thoughts you may have never had before. Mm-hmm. Thoughts about feeling hopeless, like there's no reason to live or to stay around. Thoughts of I'm not in control of things. I'm not even in control of my brain. Those are all very scary things. And I think because they're scary, it makes it hard for us as individuals to say, I need help, or I'd like somebody to tell me if I'm okay. And so we don't. We hesitate to do that. But there are resources. You know, if you have a job, many times through your health insurance, you can get assistance. You can start seeking services. Many times your employer will have an employee assistance program that can help you at least do the initial inquiry. Mm-hmm. If you're not employed, there are still other services available. Provena Behavioral Health provides a lot of different services to people from all walks of life, whether they're employed and have a good income, whether they're at home with children and need, you know, assistance trying to figure out what they want to do as a mom at home and the struggles of being a parent, to people who have many more problems functioning and aren't able to hold down jobs, aren't able to keep their family relationships together. We provide all kinds of services. And you were asking why we think a show like this is important, because not only because of stigma and trying to help dispel some of the stereotypes we have, but also for people to know that there is help. And part of what NARSAD does is to continue doing research, which provides further help, whether it's in medications or knowing the best kind of treatment. And the Sunshine from Darkness exhibit raises money to give to researchers to continue that process of figuring out how we make the lives better for people who have mental illnesses.
I should take a second here to introduce everybody again for people who might just have tuned in. Joining us on the telephone, Patsy Hollister from the National Alliance for Research on Schizophrenia and Depression. And she has particularly been involved in their kind of artistic arm, the one that's responsible for this traveling exhibit, Sunshine from Darkness. Here in the studio with me, Kay Uline. She is a local artist. She lives in Champaign. And Trudy Good, she has a doctorate in clinical psychology from University of Illinois. She is a clinical manager at Provena Behavioral Health. I want to make sure we do say to tell people here who are in and around Champaign-Urbana about these two shows so that they can see the work that we're talking about. The first one is the traveling show, Sunshine from Darkness. And this will be on display at Borders in Champaign starting tomorrow and through the end of October. And then maybe you can talk about then there's another show that this will be on display at the Mental Health Center. And this now is local, all local folks, right?
Kay, why don't you talk about that show?
I haven't seen all the work, so I can't be as specific. But it's representational of a number of people that are involved in classes and attending the Mental Health Center. And I think that the thinking was to include them, even though not directly with this other show, but to include their creativity along with the other. And so I'm sure they have a variety of work that you can come and see. And it is on October the 18th, I believe, from 4 to 6, the Mental Health Center, 202 West
Park Street.
And that is just, I guess we should make sure people know, this is just one day. So if you want to see that, it's a one-day thing. But the other thing, Sunshine from Darkness, will be at Borders starting tomorrow and then through the end of the month. So you have a little bit longer opportunity if you, you want to stop by and do that.
Patsy, the exhibit at Borders, that those pieces are on display, but then people are able to purchase those pieces as well,
Some of them are for sale. When we travel a show, we have about 120 pieces around the country. Right now we have three shows, one starting in Kansas City, Missouri, and one up in Chicago at the Fourth Presbyterian Church, and one there in Champaign. The pieces are they'll have a list at the counter or something saying which pieces are for sale and which ones aren't. The price that they say will include the frame. Normally at the end of this is the last show of that particular show of the year. So people will be able to return and pick up any painting they buy at the end of the show. Normally they can't have it until the end of the year, but since this is the last of that particular show, the artist gets it all. We've never taken any portion except the replacement of a frame, and that is kind of unusual. When it's at a gallery or something, they can add on their percentage that they want to add above and beyond what the artist has requested. And we get funded. At this point, AstraZeneca, a large pharmaceutical in Wilmington, Delaware, has funded the transportation and the framing of these paintings, because, of course, it's terribly expensive. And they all go FedEx, and they all have to be boxed in a very, very special way. And so, since we are all volunteer nonprofit, we don't have that kind of money to fund things. And certainly Provena doesn't have that kind of money to fund it. So we go out and get grants from year to year to underwrite that. So it's people can enjoy and just looking at it, and they can also ask what the prices are.
some of your daughter's work is part of this exhibit as well. Will she have some?
Yes, there are some of her pieces. And right now I can't even remember. I think her we didn't used to travel much of her work. It's rather innocent. There's some really quite dramatic pieces. But people kept saying, please, please, please. We didn't want it to seem to appear to be nepotist. I'm not sure that was the correct word. But anyway, people love Anik's work. We haven't ever sold it. And I suppose we should ask her if she wants us to for her. She does paint and give lots of things away. She does every kind of creative work that you can imagine. And she is an inspiration to thousands of people. And so we're very proud of our Anik.
We should, and maybe we should back up a little bit here just to make sure people get the back story here. The reason that you became involved in this and I think became involved with the NARSAD was mm-hmm. that you have a daughter who has schizophrenia, who mm-hmm. is an artist. And for her, I think that doing the art has turned out to be greatly therapeutic. That seemed to be your entry into dealing with this whole area. Is that right?
In the art aspect.
Right.
My husband has been on the board, and then later I, and now he's back on the board of NARSAD since its first year.
Oh, so that even it predates the...
That's right. But then we wanted to somehow have Anik's art help her. And I come from a long line of Girl Scouts, and we had these three national organizations, so we had an available distribution system for products. And so we said, there are a lot of artists out there who suffer from mental illness, and we want to get the message out, the description of these illnesses, that schizophrenia is a disease of a brain disease of the thought process. The affective disorders, that is depression and manic depression, are diseases of moods and emotions, again, to do with the central nervous, the brain. But how do you do that gently without shocking people? And so we did it through art. And we have distributed over 5 million pieces now of note cards and literature that have to do with our art products. And then that grew into the traveling show. So, yes, indeed, when Trudy and Kay were talking about how the therapeutic aspects, Anik is so improved now because of good doctoring and good medication. She can describe when she painted some of her more intricate pictures that she was able to force the demons out of her head by focusing on that art and doing this meticulous work. So, yes, indeed, it's happy therapy and serious therapy, no question.
I'm just interested here in having Kay talk again as an artist about, I'm curious about why it is you think that works, because obviously it does.
Yeah, well, you know, I think journaling, you know, a number of people that are involved with therapy do journaling, you know, which is like writing a novel or writing a book. And I think there's some very big guns in the art world that definitely had mental challenges in their lives. But you don't just like Van Gogh because he had a mental challenge. You like Van Gogh because he painted like no one else mm-hmm. has ever done. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that I believe that the sensitivity and the creativity is probably always there with someone who is a little more susceptible to emotions and things in society. But in the final analysis, the art stands. And in the final analysis, you painted, you know, it's your passion from your soul or your mind or both or whatever. And so you have communicated then. Mm-hmm. You have a communication because... you may not know what the artist is trying to tell you, but the artist is trying to tell you something. And I think, you know, some things that you might be afraid to talk about. Because you don't want to be considered, you know, a fruitcake or something that you, what someone will name you the minute they find out. So I think that it helps you focus. Mm-hmm. And it helps you look at different things. Like in my work, of course, for me, for 20 years, I'm sure like Patsy does, in caretaking for my family and my community, that like many other women my age, that's how I spent over 20 years of my life. But in my work now, I paint women, and not all the time, but a lot of the time. And it's not that I have anything against men. I just feel like, you know, in some ways, I like to paint the women. I like to do the work about women. And that is partially my background. And also where it just, to me, is important, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you, now, having said that, I'm really curious about whether sometimes after you have done something, you will look at it and see something or realize something or understand something that you didn't know, something that was coming through, perhaps not in a very direct way, but
yes.
Then when you looked at the work, you'd say, aha, I see something that I wouldn't have understood otherwise.
Well, I had started out doing women and children, babies actually, women and babies, and I didn't do a whole lot of work. But I had an art teacher who said, paint what you know, you know, paint what you have experienced. And I did these drawings, which I do on 2 feet by 3 feet. They're called drawings because they're on a paper. And also, they're very inexpensive, which is also why I do it on paper. But that was how I kind of began, until I began to look at other things. And in the one that's called Woman, that's going to be in the show, I just called it Woman, but half of it is an Afro-American woman and half of it is a Caucasian woman. And I like to do that because we are all women, and I think it's good just to show that. So that's also part of my background and part of my liking. I think you don't always know what is going to come out. You know, you have to think of something that's going to go on the canvas or whatever. But as you get into it, things can change and it can look quite different. And I noticed with Anique, she has her work includes a strong emotion, a controlled emotion. It looks like a controlled emotion, but very much there. Much stronger statement than some of these others. I'm not trying to critique everybody's work, but her work, you know, is solitary in a way. It's solitary. Then also, you know, there are people who paint landscapes because that gets them away from other people. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't, where I tend to be more curvilinear and human orientated. And, that's my interest. But I did, you know, I feel like there's absolutely that I was broken and had to be put back together. I feel that absolutely. But I think I've been and am being put back together in a better situation than I was to begin with. That's my analysis.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that both Patsy and Kay alluded to was focus that comes from doing art. You focus your attention many times on something outside of yourself. You may be attending to thoughts inside or feelings inside, but the landscapes and the flowers may in fact be some focus outside of themselves, which helps push back the demons, as Patsy said, which helps distract from the voices or from the thoughts or the sights that you see that are so disturbing. So art can be a very focusing activity. So in that way, it helps. And then the other part is it helps you express things that are inside that you can't put words on.
Often art was the only form of communication for Anique for at least 10 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
She had very limited ability to communicate anything but fear. And her form of fear took her on the road, which was excruciatingly painful for all of us. She would disappear for weeks at a time. One time she went from San Diego to Jacksonville, Florida in 48 hours. And you can imagine how frightening that could be. So it was a terrible, terrible time. But she does not know what she was afraid of, even now when she's quite coherent and clear-minded. She didn't know what she was running to or running from. It was her illness that was doing it, but she was compelled. But whenever she settled down anywhere, lighted, so to speak, she painted. We always made art supplies available. And when Kay mentioned that she uses paper, yes, indeed, newsprint was a common use of Anique's pictures, which, of course, isn't good for the future because they will deteriorate. But this is something that's so important for the mental health world and our services to provide supplies to as many people as they can. And we spoke at a nice meeting down in San Diego, about 100 miles away, last evening. And a young man, not so young, I guess, probably 40, brought up the idea of music, and if retired music teachers could volunteer at mental health centers to perhaps rekindle musicians who had lost their touch with reality. And so that was a wonderful thing. He said, you know, are you doing anything with music? And I said, well, you know, why not? But our plate is too full at this point to go off and try to figure out something on that score. But it's an idea for you, Trudy, if there is a music program around there.
No, exactly. Like visual art, I mean, music allows people to tap into something many times outside of their body, some emotional or physical
exterior
experience.
World that is so often lost when these illnesses attack. And Kay mentioned about being so interior, it is indeed the exterior world that this art allows our people to reconnect.
That's an interesting insight, I think, into sometimes what is happening with mental illness is that people are so tuned into themselves and what is going on inside them that then perhaps things that the same kind of perceptions that we don't take much notice of, maybe what's going on around us, maybe what we happen to be feeling that day, end up being magnified because people are so tuned in an almost obsessive manner to
distorted.
Yes, and then it gets completely blown out of proportion.
One of the most frequent or most common mental illnesses or a diagnosed mental illness is some kind of anxiety disorder. And anxiety is something that we all experience every day in some way or another. And one manifestation of that is a worry thought. So, you know, you woke up this morning, David, and you may have had some kind of thought that you were worried about. I don't know what that was. But you had an ability to figure out what to do with that thought, where to put it, not to let it overwhelm you or take over your day. People with anxiety disorders, they're limited in that. They can't do that. They don't have the same abilities. And so worry thoughts begin to take over, and they take up more of their thinking space rather than less. And so that's something that you and I experience every day. But thankfully, for whatever reason, we don't have it. It doesn't overrun our lives, or it doesn't affect us so that we can't function. So, I mean, that's something that most of us experience every day.
Well, it's definitely that the emotions are heightened. There's no doubt about that. I got so scared that I didn't talk for a couple of years. And I was so frightened that it's like anybody else. When you're afraid of something, it paralyzes you. You're not really able to do anything. And that's what happened to me. And so it took quite a while. And I mean, I had a lot of hallucinations and a lot of things that were reoccurring, and I was just trying to get through the day, much less, you know, do anything. I had a very difficult time working until I could no longer do it. I was a single parent trying to support my children, and I just kept pushing. But eventually, it didn't work. Eventually, I couldn't push it anymore. And so I think that's what often happens. And if you can give somebody another resource, like drawing or painting or some way where they can, you can do anything you want here. You know, nobody is going to tell you that you're crazy if you do this or that, or you, you know, you have to be watched or whatever else it is. You're able to do what you think you want to do. And in with these paintings, these people have also had some training. You know, I mean, some of them look, well, they've been trained by someone, either themselves or someone else.
Yeah, themselves, many.
Yeah.
But some have been, you know, been through art school. Mm-hmm. But it's quite a wide variety. It's just incredible. Anique hasn't had a lesson since she was 10 years old, but some have their master's degrees. It's very, it's a wonderful surprise. Every day when we pick up the mail, which is in about 10 minutes, there will be some more coming in. And it's look at this artist. And some we just have to kind of write to and say, just keep working at it, you know. They're not all geniuses, I'll tell you that. But there are a lot of them out there, and we try to get as much of it into publications as we can. We supply lots of art to all kinds of journals and across the nation and in England and in Japan. And that gets our more profile for our people and a little more money for them.
You point out something, Patty, that I think is very interesting and hard for people sometimes to understand unless they're aware of it. Most times, people have their first serious episode of mental illness sometime between the age of 15 and 25 or 30. And that's the time, if you think about sort of when people go through schooling and training and starting a career, that's when most of us are doing those things. And so it's not uncommon for somebody who has a mental illness to go through a recovery process and get to a point where they could hold a job and can begin to have a life that is like many adults, but they've missed the opportunity to attend college with most of their peers. You know, Kay didn't do her art training until later in life, in part because of where she was as a mom, but in addition, mental illness can derail or sort of change those life planes. And so it, in some ways, it's amazing to look at this artwork because these people haven't many times have gone through the training that other artists would have gone through in their young adulthood. And in that way, too, mental illness is different than other serious health problems like diabetes or heart conditions, because many times those develop later in life after somebody's developed their career or started their family. And mental illness comes at a time when people are just beginning those things. So it can very much derail a person for many years until they go through a recovery process, which is a process, not an endpoint, where they can start going back to some of the things that other adults would do.
And, you know, until the last 10 years, when there has really been an incredible improvement in medications and in doctoring, as far as knowledge and specific, pointed kind of of medications. It was a living death for many of our loved ones. Mm-hmm. And Anique has been ill since she was 15. That's young.
That's very young.
Well, she got her high school degree about 2 years ago. So, you know, all those years of not having the kind of life that we all expect for those of ours, and having that huge blank period in there where no social development, which you are doing at Provena, I'm sure, helping these socialization, psychological problems that are are created by the psychiatric problems, which is mental illness. So anything we can do to give them more encouragement for development of skills that they have or could have had, and reintroduce the real life, the general life that we all enjoy.
Hmm. We're at the point where we're going to have to stop because we've come to the end. But well, I want to mention again one more time for people who want to see the work we've been talking about, that the traveling exhibit, Sunshine from Darkness, that's sponsored by the National Alliance for Research on Schizophrenia and Depression, their artworks arm, will be at Borders Books in Champaign starting tomorrow through the end of the month. So anybody who's interested in can stop by and see the work. And also the local sponsor here is Provena Behavioral Health. And there'll be the one-day show at the Mental Health Center in Champaign October 18th from 4 in the afternoon until 6, showing the work of some artist here from Champaign, Urbana. So it's there for people to see. We want to also say to our guest from NARSAD, Patsy Hollister, thank you very much for
talking
with us.
Nice meeting you all.
And here in the studio with me, artist Kay Uline and Trudy Good from Provena Behavioral Health.
Thank you very much, David.
Thank you for having the show.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.